I don't know if you can tell, but I am recording this in my hotel room in Brussels. Welcome back to the Dragos Energy Podcast. It's me, Dragos, and I am in Brussels at the moment. Thank you for everybody that left a comment on the YouTube video version of this with questions and feedback. I appreciate it. I'll get to it in a second. I think one of the pieces of feedback was that I should speak a little bit slower because a lot of you guys might be non-native English speakers, and for this reason, I shall slow down my speech. And hopefully it makes it also a bit more ASMR-ish. But I've been doing a couple of shows the past week. It's been a pretty crazy week. I've done so far Eindhoven, I've done Amsterdam, I've done Rotterdam, I've done Brussels and Antwerp. So that's 5 shows in 5 days. Today is my 1 day of break in Brussels. So I've been procrastinating all day. Now it's midnight. Brussels, tomorrow I have a plane at 10 a.m. in the morning to go to Copenhagen. And I was like, I'm going to do this by the end of the day. And I am doing it so I can put it out tomorrow. So yay me, I'm keeping up with the consistency for this podcast. That's right, so let's start off with answering some of the questions from the previous podcast. One of the statements was, you have a similar style to Andrew Schultz in the early days. I would suggest you look into his evolution from underground clubs to New York YouTube and filling arenas and making a Netflix special. Keep it up. Well, thank you very much, Ruta Petro Adrian, for your little input here. I mean, one of the reasons why I started putting some of my crowd work online was because I saw Andrew Schultz doing it. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is, I have more diverse audience and I think I can work with this part of the world and create like a little niche for myself. So yes, you are onto something there. I think the difference between Andrew Schultz and myself is that it's a big, they have more of a network for setting up shows there. They have a bit more established industries, whereas I'm kind of sorting a lot of the event planning, the editing. I'm doing all of it by myself for now, but slowly figuring out how to grow. Slowly, but surely we will get to the arenas. Don't worry, we'll get to the arenas. We'll get into the arenas. All right. And then I got Kobe over here from Hungary. He a little bit of feedback was the fact that he's looking forward to come to my Budapest show. Yes, I think I've just commented on the your comment there with the link, so you can check out the link there for the shows, and also appreciates if I speak slower. So this is the feedback, slower. So I'm definitely gonna do that. Well, like not in that last sentence, but going forward, I'll speak slower on the podcast. And then Manda Propaganda asks me, which comedian inspires your work? Well, it's a very interesting question because I could not say that there is one particular comedian that inspires my work. I do try to emulate, not necessarily emulate, but learn from as many comedians as possible and then bring all the knowledges, take the strengths from all of them and combine them into like one super, super comedian. So I think at the start, I started watching, one of the first comedians I started watching was Russell Peters. I don't know if that makes a lot of sense, but I think Russell Peters was one of the first comedians that went viral on YouTube. A lot of those clips started getting passed around. I saw some of them as well. They're very educational. They taught you about nationalities, about, you know, Chinese people, Indian people. You know, it was a rudimentary usage of stereotypes. And I think maybe that kind of inspired the direction that I wanted to go as well. Then I saw also Trevor Noah using a similar strategy. And I thought to myself that the thing that all these comedians have, both Trevor Noah and Russell Peters, have in common is the fact that they live outside of the U.S. So I was like, huh, this is an interesting style. And I think it makes more sense when you live outside of the U.S. to have this style. But then other than that, there were, you know, obviously Dave Chappelle, Bill Burr I watched, Louis C.K. And I also, I think Gary Goldman is a comedian that I quite like a lot in terms of his writing. But I try to, you know, that's more complex writing and I try to keep mine a little bit more simple. So that's kind of like the comedians that I kind of look at. Chris Rock as well, very good. During the pandemic, I don't know how many of you are aware, but during the pandemic, I did a series of videos on YouTube where I was kind of like reviewing comedy specials. So I watched a lot of them and I counted laughs per minute. I counted like the usage of, you know, face muscles. I counted, you know, the character creation. They're still on YouTube. Nobody watches them, but they're there. So you can check those out to see what kind of knowledge I have been able to learn from there. So these are the kind of the free little questions and comments that we had. If you guys have more comments and questions, you can leave them on the YouTube video for this podcast, or you can message them to me. But I think if you leave them on the YouTube video, it's going to be a little bit easier because I go there before recording the podcast and I can kind of read out loud and see what's up. All right. I also, for this particular podcast, I did prepare. I have like homework. I gave myself homework for this podcast and I prepared a little bit. And I have a list of things here that I wanted to talk about. and basically just added one more now. I watched the Ricky Gervais special, the Ricky Gervais special on Netflix. I thought it was pretty funny. It's gonna piss off a lot of people, a lot of offensive stuff, but I think in terms of joke construction and usage of shock and offense, it was a pretty fun special to watch. So if you haven't watched that, I recommend checking it out. I think what Ricky Gervais does, he has committed very heavily to this whole offensive comedy style, this hilarious dark offensive comedy style. Whereas if you look at my style, I do like dark jokes as well, and I try to keep it dark, but I also try to keep it cultural. So I think if I were to describe my style in a particular way, I would describe it as dark but cultural, or dark and cultural. And you know, I try to bring out elements of different cultures that have some tint of darkness that I find hilarious or entertaining, and also a bit more geographical, geopolitical. So that was a fun thing. An amazing thing happened at my show in Amsterdam. I don't know if you guys were following me, especially in February, and even now I share quite a lot of stuff about the war in Ukraine. And I had one member of the audience that came to the show in Amsterdam that told me that they were able to get out of Ukraine because of my stories shared and the stuff that I shared on Instagram. So that was amazing. I was like, well, I was tearing up a bit. So I didn't actually talk to her during the show, but I thought it was a pretty great thing to see that, you know, my efforts had some, you know, real life real life effects on people's you know, well-being and ability to get out of a war zone. So that was pretty cool. Basically it's cool. I mean, a lot of people I have another note here that says carrying benches. The show in Amsterdam, basically, we set it up last minute. So, you know, it's one of those like very grimy shows that you set up. And a lot of people, you know, they see, I have 500,000 followers on TikTok, and you have all these followers on Instagram. They think like it's comedy at the moment is like at a glamorous stage for me. And I thought that was, somebody was telling me this before the show in Eindhoven, and I thought it was pretty hilarious. The contrast, because after the show in Amsterdam, I was helping the bartender guy take down like 12 benches that they brought up two flights of stairs for my show in this kind of like old basketball, a converted basketball kind of club thingy. So I was like, as I was carrying those benches down the stairs, I was like, well, you know, it's still down in the trenches, you know, we haven't made it yet. But it's still, you know, pretty fun and real. I think people always get shocked by the fact that I'm at the door welcoming people. And they're like, why is the comedian welcome me? I guess, why am I doing it? I think it's a lot more easier for me to move, be more agile without having to depend on people and coordinate, and it's less work, and also get to meet the people, so I like it. But it's also the fact that, you know, I'm still in the trenches, you know, I'm still on the ground level doing comedy and making things happen myself, you know? So it was pretty cool to think of that. What else do we have here? Jimmy Carr. I have a Jimmy Carr note here, and the reason for this is I'm planning to buy Jimmy Carr's book. I don't know, I didn't even know Jimmy Carr had a book. I'm just typing to find it. But basically, I was listening to a podcast today on my free day in Brussels. Today was my free day in Brussels, and what I did is, what I do during my free days, usually I just walk around the city, I listen to podcasts, I listen to books, I just do a little bit of you know, just research. Everything I do is research. I was researching, thinking of jokes, and because when I walk, I kind of like think of stuff and I come with concepts, and I thought of like, oh, you know, we're all kind of the same. You think about, this is one thing I thought about. We're all kind of the same. You know, if you think about it, Japanese ramen is just Japanese borscht. This is something I wrote down. I wrote down a lot of notes, and some of them are not good, but this one was decent. So anyway, going back to Jimmy Carr, I listened to a podcast with him on, was it Mike Birbiglia's podcast? He was talking about his book, and he had some interesting things to say on the podcast. So I think based on that podcast, I'm going to go and buy the book. I'm going to go buy his book and see what's up with that. I thought a funny fact that he mentioned in the podcast was that he used to live next to the Mars chocolate factory in the UK somewhere. And that he gave him coffee at the age of 3. And he has had coffee in the morning since the age of 3. So I thought that was hilarious. So I'm going to buy his book. I thought it was a pretty interesting little interview he had. So if you if you want to check something cool out, check the Jimmy Carr Mike Birbiglia podcast. So I've taken notes. See, what else do I have here? The past five shows that I've done, The past five shows that I've done, this is I've written down as a note discovery, and then usually that's how I take notes. I take a word and then I just rebuild the whole memory and thought process. The reason I wrote down discovery for one of the notes for this podcast, because I want to talk about the feeling of discovery. The past couple of shows, I've done five shows in the past 5 days, and I think one of the best feelings of some of these shows, they're all great shows, they worked out great, very funny. We had fun interactions. I feel like the hours now is reaching a point where it's kind of like almost done, perhaps. Maybe it's ready to get filmed soon, especially since I'm doing it so much now. I feel like it's getting much more tighter. I'm a lot more looser, a lot more relaxed, and I'm having a lot more fun. And I think that also gets translated to the audience. But one of my most favorite moments is when, and I say this at the start of the show, is people that have seen my comedy online, they bring their friends, and you know, their friends kind of trust them to come to the show. And it's always great to see their impression at the end of the show, because they feel they just discovered something amazing. And I feel that I like to kind of focus on that feeling of discovery, because I like discovering things. People always ask me, Dragoš, how do you know so many things about you know, locations and countries? And it's not necessarily that I like the feeling of knowing, I just like the feeling of discovering things, discovering new things, if that makes sense. So I like it when I see it in other people. For example, the show in Brussels yesterday, we had some we had one person that came to the previous show before, this girl from Greece, and she brought her housemates and her friends, and I had a conversation with them after the show, and they're also super excited. They're like, that feeling of like, oh my god, well, how can I get more of this? I'm so happy I came across this. This is great. I want more. Like, they're genuinely, you know, happy to have discovered the comedy and the jokes. So yeah, hopefully in the next couple of months I'll write some jokes relating this feeling of discovery. So I like discovering things. I like the feeling of discovering things, and I like to see how it looks like when other people discover new things. I think that's kind of like my growth engine in terms of like learning things. Okay, what else I have in my list here? I wrote disco wet. I have no idea what the fuck disco wet means. Disco wet. Maybe this is a joke. Maybe this is a line. I have no idea. But I have something else here. I wrote something about learning Spanish. Yeah, I'm playing around very seriously with the following thought. And the following thought is, I want to go and learn Spanish for 3 months intensely. Maybe I'll go to Mexico during the winter. I want to do stand-up comedy in Spanish. And I have this feeling that I'm going to be quite good at it. Even though, like, it's a weird feeling that I have, that I feel I will be very good at it without actually having full control of the language. Because if I don't have full control of the language, then I don't know how I'm going to be funny. So I feel like a lot of times stand-up comedy is about tricking that ability of your brain to predict what's coming next, right? I think this is the whole essence of comedy, being able to fool the brain and misdirect, fool it from, trick its prediction mechanism. I think this is, if I were to write a book on comedy, I think the best way I would describe comedy is the process of tricking the brain's predictive mechanism and in such a way making it discover something new. Is that a good term? Should I write a book? I don't know. But I feel like if I don't know where the punchline is coming from, this is what happens with the crowd work. Like, I don't know where the funny is going to come from. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't know what people have in there. I don't know how I'm going to handle with it. But you know, most of the times the funny still comes out, especially in crowd work, you know? I don't know where it's going to come from. They don't know where it's going to come from, the audience. You know, you don't know where it's going to come from. Nobody knows where the fun comes from, where the funny comes from, but we all discover it at the same time. And I think that's what makes crowd work really good. So I feel for myself that if I go into a language where I don't know the words properly, I have some degree of control of the language, but then I don't have full control of the language, then I have no idea where the fun is going to come from. And then at the same time, the native speakers of that language, they will have no idea how my brain works in order to generate this fun. I was playing around with this process of writing jokes in Spanish and talking in Spanish because I don't have a full control of the vocabulary. I was talking to my girlfriend and I was describing a verb as a set of actions instead of like, I don't know, running, because I don't know how to say run in Spanish. I said something along the lines of, I'm going to walk there very, very fast, very, very fast, you know, voy a caminar muy rápido or something, muy rápido, muy rápido. And then like, how fast? Very, very fast. So I feel like this kind of like, this fourth grade, fifth grade Spanish might combine very well into making comedy, because at the end of the day, the essence of comedy is simplicity. And if I can kind of combine this elements of simplicity with joke writing, I think after doing 3 months of Spanish intensive, I can come up with some pretty cool Spanish comedy that I think would be maybe not very present. Maybe it's not very present at the moment, or not very unique. That's the word I'm looking for. So I'm playing around with this thought of doing Spanish course in Mexico for the 2 or 3 months in winter. That's what I had written down here. All right, let's else. What else do we have written down? Oh, I'm going to Cluj, basically. So one worry that I have now is that because summer is coming, I won't be able to perform as much and as often. I will maybe get a bit rusty during the summer and I will need to tape my 1 hour before the summer comes. But then I have a very few opportunities. I'm going to be in Lisbon Wednesday. So Monday tomorrow, I'm going to be in Copenhagen. Tuesday, I'm going to be in Malmo. Then I'll be Lisbon, Barcelona, Cluj, Budapest. These are the locations that are coming up. So I'm just trying to think what is the best venue to kind of film something. And I'm thinking maybe Cluj might be the one because I have full control of the venue. And it also, you know, fits up to like 120 people. But I just need a videographer. So if you know any videographers in Cluj, send them over to me. I think that would be very appreciative. Right, other stuff that I am currently reading. I'm reading the book. I don't know if I mentioned last time. I'm in the midst of reading this book, which is called Your Brain on Music. And it is trying to explain to me how the brain processes music. I've kind of consumed maybe 4 hours of this book. It's a lot of complex musical tech terminology, and I still don't understand shit. But it is still related to the predictive mechanism of the brain. So I have no idea what the fuck is happening, but I'm going to continue listening to it until something kicks in there. Something clicks. And let's go. In terms of joke writing, I need to set some time aside to write some jokes. I've been writing some notes and such, but I need to put more time into writing some jokes at the moment. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what is the direction that I want to go in terms of writing future jokes. I feel like I've had a couple of jokes recently where it's a kind of like, describes the way that I interact with some people, and it's gotten some pretty big laughs. I have one interaction with 7-Eleven person. I have one interaction with like somebody who's asking me to give up my seat on an airplane. So I'm thinking maybe the next hour might be focused a little bit more on people interactions. So we'll see how that kind of shapes up and works in the next couple of days. Yeah, music. All right. It is midnight here now in Brussels. Any other topics that I have not approached? Yes. So if you have any other requests, just drop them in the comment section in the YouTube video. Tell me what questions you have. Tell me if you have any form of hints, if you have any suggestions, locations. A lot of people have been requesting locations. I will come to Greece, I will come to Poland, and I also look at doing some shows in Montreal. Yeah, and maybe when I'm in Mexico, I'll also do like a little vlogging series. One thing that I followed this week on TikTok was an account that talks about artificial intelligence. And from that particular account, they spoke about how Meta, Facebook, also released a competitor for this GPT-3, which is the Y Combinator OpenAI generic predictive text. Generic predictive transformer, which is like a program that basically emulates the style that you write. It's kind of like a very rudimentary machine learning artificial intelligence thing. So essentially you write down the comedy there and it tries to emulate your style. So Facebook has also launched the same thing, and it's free because the one from OpenAI now costs money because they want to make money because they got bought by Microsoft. So if I have time this summer, what I would like to do is maybe do some live streaming of me trying to write jokes with the machine learning algorithm, with this AI thing that they have. I think that would be fun and interactive. Also, I did not follow the game. I have no idea there was a game. I didn't know Liverpool was playing Real Madrid and Real Madrid won. No idea. I had a show exactly at the same date, which I think was why it affected a little bit the turnout. But the turnout was still pretty good. We had like 100 people, which is great for Brussels. Yeah, 100 people. Boom, boom. And also, I'm doing tomorrow. I'm still staying at the 100 people kind of mark at the moment because I'm trying to be nimble. I have experimented so far with a 400 person venue in Riga. It was great, but for me to move easily from place to place, it's still 100 people kind of like the easiest version for me. But I will talk to somebody to see if we can do some bigger shows in the UK and maybe even in Romania, a little tour of Romania, Timișoara, Iași, Sibiu, Alba, and some other locations in the next couple of months. But also Zurich and Switzerland shows are coming. I am going to do that. All right, I think this is the mark that we're kind of usually leave it off. 20 minutes, 20 minutes is a good amount of time to kind of talk to myself in the room in the middle of the night. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know if you have any questions. Leave them as YouTube comments. Subscribe to my YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell your mom. Besos. Besos? Is that what it is? Or asbestos? I don't know. But thanks for tuning in on the Dragos Comedy podcast here, guys. And Dragos Energy, that's what it is, Dragos Energy. Or is it Dragos Comedy, Dragos Energy? We don't know. We're going to figure out if to do a rebranding. And also if we get a studio at some point. Wow, that'd be great to get a studio, wouldn't it be? All right, we'll see you. Have a nice evening and see you next time. Bye-bye.